Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And you can't miss our Sunday services, packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the word.
Hallelujah. This evening, I just want us to talk about the love for our Father. The love for our Father. The love for God. Increased love for God. Your love for God, my love for God should be increasing at all times in the name above every other name. Hallelujah. I'm going to draw our attention. Our main portion of scripture is going to be in 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, John, the beloved apostle, the beloved disciple, talks about love. This man loved love. I think that's why he normally refers to himself as the one who was loved by Christ, as if Christ did not love the others. You know, he talks about love. He addresses the virtue of love, the virtue of love, the virtue of love, the virtue of love. The Bible says that faith, hope, and love, you know, abide. They will abide, but love is the greatest of all. That is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love is the greatest of all. So he addresses the virtue of love. He talks about a love for one another. He talks about love for our brothers. He says, if you hate your brother, is what he says, then you are still in darkness. You cannot say that you are in the light when you hate your brother. Yet the light has come. The light has come. Who's the light? The light is Jesus. But how did the light come? The light came as a result of love. Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loved and gave. He loved and gave. That's how Jesus came. And John chapter 1 says he was the light of the world. He shone in this darkness. So he was love. You cannot say you love him or you love God, yes, when you still hate a brother or a sister for that matter. You understand? So John is addressing this, and this is something that, you know, we must have, it must be part and parcel of us. Love, it's about love. And Jesus Christ summarized the commandments in two. And all of them are laced with the word love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. As yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Hallelujah. Loving people as you love yourself. That is love. And this is what John is talking about here in 1 John chapter 2. He says, if you hate your brother, hatred cannot be part of a Christian. You cannot be a Christian and hate. No, you can't. He says, if you hate, then you are still in darkness. You know? And he said, one who is in the darkness does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. In other words, hatred blinds and love opens your eyes. Hallelujah. Then in verse 15 of the same chapter, 1 John, he's the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verse 15, he now turns and gives a warning about love for something else. And he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Do not love what? The world or anything in the world. My God, that word world means is the Greek word for world is cosmos. Do not love the cosmos. Why? Because the cosmos or the world is considered as hostile to God and to his purposes. The world and its systems are hostile to God and, of course, to his people and his children and to God's purposes. So if you love the world, then you are not in sync with God's purposes. The only thing that the world knows to do is to exert a, seductive influence on us as Christians. It's always seducing us. It's always seducing us. And that's why Christians, Paul, the Apostle John, is telling us that we must continually resist the love for the world and the things therein. Hallelujah. We must continually resist that, because we are in this situation. We thank God for sending Jesus Christ, who came to rescue us. But man fall into sin because of the world. Instead of the word, he chose the world. Hallelujah. God had spoken the word in the Garden of Eden. Left him with the word. Left him with the precepts. Left him with the command. But then the world took over the word. And this is what is happening right now. The world must not take over the word, the love for the word of God. We must resist it, because its main aim is to divert us, is to sow seeds of discord in the word of life. Hallelujah. So he says, do not love the what? The world. Do not be lovers of the world and the things therein. We must resist the seductive influence of the world. Why should we resist it? John chapter 15, verse 18 to 19. Jesus himself is teaching his disciples, as he teaches us as well. He says, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me as well before it hated you. The world hated Jesus Christ. Why? Because he had come to interrupt its systems. He had come to destroy its systems. He had come to destroy its kingdom. He had come to build a new kingdom. And if we are his, then the world cannot love us. So we cannot love what hates him. You understand? We cannot love what hates our God. It says, verse 19 says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. Did you see what he just said there? If you were of the world, what is that telling us? It tells you and me that we are not of this world. I think by now we should know that we are just here for a short time. We are not of the world. Nobody can live here forever. That was his purpose. But then the world came and spoke man out of the word, out of life, and then death came. So, much as we are in the world, we are not of the world. Hallelujah. He says, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because, he says, but because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. The world hates you. Why? Because he has chosen you and I out of the world. I can submit to you this evening, ladies and gentlemen, that the world is not your friend. The world is your enemy. The world is the enemy of God, and therefore your enemy, my enemy. Did you know that not everybody who laughs at you is your friend? There are some people who are your enemies, but they know how to entice you into their circles so that they can destroy you. You understand? That's how the world is. They look beautiful. They look, you know, the smile is good. They are kind, but their intentions are not godly. And so is the world. The world looks beautiful. It's beautiful. Things of the world are beautiful. Hallelujah. But they are not yours. They are not your friend. They are not your friend. The world wants to dominate us. The world wants us to do its will. But we must resist that. And though we are in the world, we must do the will of God. We must love our God. We must love his word more than the world. We are in it, but not of it. All the world aims at is to separate you and I from the love of God to hinder you and I from doing his will. That's why the apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. What does he say? Paul appeals to both you and I, saying, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I beseech you. He's kneeling on his knees, begging us, begging you and I, to get hold of this body and present it and give it to God. Offer it up as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, he says, which is your spiritual worship. And then verse 2, he takes it to another level. He says, do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed into this world. That word conform means that there is a mold. The world has its own mold. It has its own systems, its own styles. And it wants us to be to fit in those molds. It wants us to fit in those molds. And how does it do it? The world does it by shaving off or chiseling away the godliness in us so that we may conform to its models. But he says, do not be conformed to this world. Resist it. That's what he's saying. Rather, be transformed. It's not about being conformed. We are here to be transformed. Every other day we need to be transformed. We are being transformed, remember, into that image which God had created in the beginning. Because that image was destroyed. It was distorted by the enemy. So, it says, be transformed. How? By renewing of your mind and by the testing and by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. Hallelujah. And then he talks about a young man that used to minister with him. Paul talks about a young man who used to minister with him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. There's a guy called Demas. Demas was a missionary. Demas was part of Paul's entourage. He was part of Paul's ministry. But then something came up. He loved the world more than the work. He loved the world more than the word. You cannot love the world more than the word of God. You cannot love the world more than the work of God. Hallelujah. And in this country in which we live, the devil is at work full time, causing us to love work of the world more than the work of God. Causing us to love more of the word of the world more than the word of God. You understand? And we need to be on our guard. We need to be on our guard. We need to outsmart him. In this country where we live, we are in. When you go to Africa, there are different dynamics. Different dynamics. People work from 9 to 5 and they go home. But in the cities in which we live, if you live in the first world, these cities never sleep. They never sleep. The systems in this world, in this part of the world, they never sleep. That's why I guess they are called the first world. They are ahead of the others. When others are sleeping, for them, they continue working. And that system, if you're not careful, it can quench you. That's why you hear people saying, I came from Africa. And when I came from Africa and came to these countries, wherever you are in the first world, I used to pray a lot. I used to do this and this. You were on fire. But when you came in this system, something happened. What happened, you think? What happened is we conformed. We conformed to the system. Conformed to the system. The system, took over. So Demas conformed and walked away from doing the will of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. This is Paul saying, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. He deserted Paul. Can you imagine deserting Paul? Why did he desert Paul? It's because, the work of God is not glamorous. The world has got a way of painting itself to become more glamorous than the world, the word of God. More glamorous than God, more glamorous than the things of God. So Demas, like most of us, walked away. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, you will not walk away. You will not walk away from the word of God. You will not conform to the world in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. My friend, conformity with the world is love for it. And love for the world means hatred for God, or hatred to God. That word hate means to love less. You know, you love, most Christians love God less than they love the world today. That question, if God were asked you, whom do you love more than the other? You know, most people were following Jesus Christ wherever he went because of the miracles. And one day he changed the menu because they were following him because of bread. Bread. It was true then and it is still true today. Most people are following Christ because of bread. And when the world offers more bread, guess what? God loses. So one day he said, from today, the menu has changed. The menu has changed. I am no longer going to make bread. From today on, I am the bread. And the Bible says, they looked at him and says, what is he talking about? What he's saying is very difficult. The Bible says that many of them turned away and left. Then he asks these guys, Peter and the rest, you guys, are you also about to leave? Peter said, where can we go? You are the one who has got the life, the word of life. You know, it may not look glamorous here, but it's you who has the life. Because Peter had come to the realization that the other things are just temporal. Hallelujah. So, we need to love God more than we love the world. To love his word more than we love the world. To love his work more than we love the world. James chapter 4, verse 4, write that down. He says, you adulterous people. Adulterous. He uses a serious word, adulterous. Adulterous means, you know, if you are not in love with God and in love with something else, you are committing adultery. That's what he was talking about. Because God is like we are married to him. We are married to our God. So the moment we love another outside of him, then we are committing adultery. As a matter of fact, he used to refer to Israel as harlots. They are here and then tomorrow they are gone. He says, you adulterous people, do you not know, that's what he's saying, that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. He says, therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Period. That one does not need even interpretation. It is plain. If you are a friend to the world, then you position yourself as an enemy of God. Why? Because the world, like we said, is competing for your love as Christians. For our love as Christians. And the truth is, you cannot love both. You cannot love both this Father and the world at the same time. That's why he says, you cannot serve Mammon and God. One of them will lose. That is why John continues to say in this portion of scripture in John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you hear that? If you love the world too much, more than you love the Father, then the love of the Father is not in you. You can sing it however much you want, you can speak it however much you want, but the love of him is not in you, and he's looking for that love. That's what he's looking for. So in chapter 16, he continues to say, he specifies the contents of the world. He begins to specify the contents of the world, and he names them. Number one, the desires of the flesh. The desires of the flesh. The lustings of the flesh, the cravings of the flesh. The flesh is always wanting. Give me. This evening, this today, since morning, I don't know how many times you have eaten. How many times have you been to your fridge if you have been at home the whole day? Many times. The moment you sit down, it says, you need to go and boil the kettle, you know. you need to get some tea. The moment you are there, it asks for something else. It's always asking. It never gets satisfied. Then he talks about the desire of the eyes. That talks about covetousness, wanting to acquire. And if you remember quite well, if you are a Bible, good Bible reader or Bible scholar, you remember that that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. That's what the devil did with Eve. The Bible says that when she saw the fruit and saw that it was good for what? It was, number one, it was desirable to the eyes and it was good for food. That is the lust of the eyes and the lust of the body. That's how we fail. And that's how we continue. Even today, that he has never changed his tricks. Those are the tricks that he does, he uses. You understand? So we need to be on the lookout. It says he names them the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and then the pride of life, the pride that comes from acquiring all the things of the world. That's where I come from. People boast about how many cows they have. And they have got names for every cow. And this man can go on the top of a hill and name all these names of all the cows he has. My goodness, boasting. And to him, all the other people who do not have cows are lightweight. But he forgets that he has got nothing. Nobody has anything in this world. We came with nothing, we go out with nothing. These are perspectives of the world. These are not perspectives from God. So in verse 17 of the same epistle, he says, after all, the world and its desires are temporary and they pass away. The things that people pride in, I have that, I have this, I have come, all the accolades, they are passing away. They are temporal. And then he says, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You've got to choose to do the will of God. How can you do the will of God if you love the world? You cannot. That word lives means abiding life. Abiding life comes from the fellowship with God. It is a result of abiding in God's word, in God's will, doing his will, desiring him more than we desire the passing things and the vain things of the world. Solomon put it quite well. He says, all the world is vanity. Did you know that in most cases we spend our time thinking about vanity instead of thinking about eternity? We must be of a different mindset. Most of my thought, most of your thought process should be about eternity, not vanity. Vanity. That's why he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 2, he says, vanity of vanities. It's not just vanity. It is vanity of vanities. Vanity of vanities. All, not some. He says all is vanity. This is the richest man who ever lived. He had it all. At a certain point of time, he had that lust of the flesh. He had that lust of the eyes, and he had that pride. But when he got to the top, he discovered that everything that he was looking for is just vanity. Did you realize that most of the things that you have been craving for, you have been gunning for, the moment you get them, they become nothing. Oh, I wanted to attain. Most of us came in this country as immigrants. Now I want to attain. The moment it comes, it's just it becomes nothing. It's like it doesn't even exist. He asks, what does a man gain by the toil at which he toils under the sun? This is, Solomon. And he says in verse 14, he says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. All the things of the world are temporal. That's why we cannot love the things of the world, because tomorrow they are here, tomorrow they are not here. That man who's boasting about the cows, he thinks he has cows, but he has nothing. In the world we came with nothing and we go with nothing. That's why we cannot love the things that are going, our passing away. We go to love. Our eyes have got to be on concentrating on how do I make it into eternity. Do you understand, child of God? All the things of the world are temporal. They are temporal. That's why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18, he says, "For we do not look to the things that are seen." In other words, we do not fix our eyes on the things that are seen. Because the things that are seen are what? They are temporal. They are transient. Rather, we fix our eyes on the things that are unseen, the eternal. That is where your love must be. You need to set your mind, child of God, on the things that are above, not on the things that are below. The things that are below are just transient. Today they are there, tomorrow they are gone. Today there's another president, tomorrow there's another one. Tomorrow there's another prime minister, tomorrow there's another one. Today it's winter, tomorrow it is summer. That's how they are. You understand? So if you fix your eyes on the things of the world, you'll run amok. You run amok. That's why he says, Paul says in the book of Colossians, he says, set your minds on the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above. Set your mind on the things that are above. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That is where your mind must be, your child of God. Set your mind on things that are not earthly. That's what he says. For you died, and your life is now hidden in Christ. So that when Christ, who is your life, appears at the clouds, you may glory with him. I may glory with him. But I cannot glory with him when he appears at the clouds if I have been so engrossed in the things of the world. That's why he says, he continues saying that portion of scripture. He said, then if you are to glory with him when he appears, if you are to set your mind on the things that are above, you've got to put to death some stuff. There are some things you and I have got to put to death. They do not die on their own. We kill them. Therefore, put to death, he says, whatever belongs to the earthly nature, to your earthly nature. Things like sexual immorality, he says. He's talking about impurity. He's talking about lust. He's talking about evil desires and greed, which he calls idolatry. So, because he says, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. Yesterday, we were talking about the wrath of God. Says he used to walk in these ways in the life he once lived. So you cannot go back to them. Says, but now you must read yourself. You must read yourself of things such as anger. Some of us are short-fused. You cannot be a lover of God and yet you are too angry. Rage, malice, slander, filthy language cannot come from your lips, cannot come from my lips. That is why, my friend, we must endeavor to love God more than we love the world. Because the things of the world are passing away. Our eyes must be stayed on eternity. How? You must live your life beyond here while you are still here. You understand, my friend? This week, how many times have you thought about eternity? How many times have you thought about heaven? Somebody said, when you talk about heaven, it's like you're giving up on earth. Earth is not, Paul says, to die is gain. You know, being in the body, I am away from Christ. But being away from the body, I am with Christ. Do you understand? Am I in a hurry to go in eternity? No, but I must set my mind on eternity. Not on these things that are passing away. Do you understand that, child of God? That's what makes a difference between you and other people. A Christian who does not think about that, I don't know what you are thinking about. Why did you get saved? Why did you get saved? Why did you get born again? Did you get born again for miracles? Because that's what most people do. Most evangelists tell people, come to God and everything will be fine. Come to God and you receive this, you receive that. They promise the earthly things. But the gospel that we preach is not about the earthly things. It's about the earthly king, the heavenly kingdom. Do you understand? It's about my destiny, securing my destiny in eternity. Because that's where no moth, no rust can go. All these other things here, They're just nothing. They're just sinking ground. So this evening, I am calling upon you to check in your love tank and find out whose love is more. Is it God's love? Or is it the love for the world? Put it on a scale. God's love, the love for the world. Which one weighs more in your life? I leave that to you to answer, to ponder and think about.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.